Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be both encouraged and challenged to step into what God has in store for you.
Well, it's good to be with you guys. How many have ever heard me speak? Oh, bless you, you came back. That's awesome. It's always a wonder, you know, will they come back? You know, we've just so enjoyed coming to Winkler. I don't know of a church in like Midwestern Canada like this. And just kind of do this. Just tap yourselves on the back. It's always good. My wife and I are so happy to be here. We love your pastors. You guys have great pastors. Come on. Amen. Amen. He's rocking the beard and just, you know. We're good. We've become really good friends, and he's a great source of encouragement to me, and we've just loved our friendship together. Hey, I want to just share a little bit of life with you tonight, if I could. I want to talk to you about when heaven opens. How many want heaven to open? Amen. You know, so I think there's a scripture coming up on the screen. It's Ezekiel chapter 1. We're just going to look at three verses. Is it coming up? There it is. Awesome. So it says, Ezekiel said this. He said, now it came to pass in the 30th year. Would you say 30th year? In the 30th year, in the fourth month, say fourth month. On the fifth day. Good. You're doing really well. That's awesome. As I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open. You say heavens were opened. And then he said, and I saw visions of God on the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Would you bow your heads and let's just say a word of prayer? Father, we pray tonight that just as we have this few minutes to share, we just ask that you would open heaven over our hearts, over our lives. Lord, we believe that these are prophetic moments. There are moments in our lives where you want to manifest yourself in a very unique way to our lives. Open heaven, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to notice the 30th year, the fourth month, and the fifth day. So in other words, listen, there are specific years, there are specific months, and there are specific days where God wants to open heaven over our life. Amen, Gary, good point, hallelujah. Okay. It's not just a one-time thing. Folks, there are many times throughout your life where God wants to open heaven over you, and he wants to do specific things in your heart. I'd like to say heaven is always open over my life, but that's not always the case. But there are moments, there are times, there's certain years, there's certain months, there's certain days where heaven opens up over my life. Now, he also said that he was with the captives. Now, like I'm trying to boil it down to very common sense. He was a captive because he was with the captives. So there are specific situations in our lives where God wants to open heaven over our life. Does anybody here have a situation? That's a good chance to put your hand up. We all have situations, right? Do you have a situation where you just say, God, open heaven over my life? Come on, we all have situations. And then he says, I was by the river Chebar. In other words, there's a specific place. There's a specific place where God wants to encounter us. God wants to open heaven over our life. In my life, I've been serving the Lord now since I was about 17. I got saved when I was 7, then I backslid. And I really gave my heart to the Lord when I was 17. Now I'm 56, so do the math. It's a lot of years. And there have been many times where I have been in the house of God. Don't mind my bald spot. I've been in the house of God, the place where God encountered me, where heaven opened up over my life, and I began to see God in a new way. Now, Ezekiel, listen, let me give you some dates just so you can understand this. May 10th, 1940. Was anybody living back then? No, I didn't think so. May 10th, 1940. It seemed like just a normal day. But May 10th, 1940 was the day that Winston Churchill became the Prime Minister of England. And this is what he said. He said, as I went to bed at 3 a.m., I was conscious of a profound sense of relief. At last, I had the authority to give directions over the whole scene. I felt as if I was walking with destiny, and that all my past life had been a preparation for this hour and for this trial. I thought I knew a good deal about it, and I was sure I would not fail. I'd like to suggest to you, May 10th, 1940, heaven opened up and God anointed a man for a specific time and for a specific season. Come on, amen? I mean, if he wasn't the leader at that time, I mean, we don't know what world the world would have looked like. You know, if you study Winston's life, I've always found this to be amazing. If you study his life, he was involved in every major, like, public thing that you could ever imagine in the government and in society. But there was one section of his life where actually he was not involved in any public activity whatsoever. And they called it the wilderness years. They actually called it on his website. You know, they didn't have websites back then, but they developed a website. And in his website, they say there's a wilderness part in his life. So I always like to say this. Listen. He said, everything that I had done was a preparation for this moment. So even in our wilderness times, God wants to use those times to release us and to open up our lives so that we can make a difference. So I'm going to give you some dates in my own personal life, just so you understand there's a specific year, a specific month, a specific day where God wants to open heaven. October 20th. 1980. Was anybody living back then? All right, you know what I'm talking. We're 80 kids, right? Okay, so in 1980, it sounds like a normal day, but I was a messed up kid. I mean, my life was messed up. I was in drugs. My week went like this. I would go to school. I would just go to school. I wouldn't necessarily do anything in school, but I would go to school. And then I would go to work. I had a part-time job. I worked at Kinney's Shoes. Does anybody remember Kinney's Shoes? Like Woolco, Woolworths, you know, those stores. Maybe not out here, but in Ontario. And then I would go out at night, and I would get stoned out of my mind. And I'd come home maybe midnight, 1 o'clock, and I'd do the whole thing over. And then on the weekend, I'd get stoned and get drunk. That was my week. That was kind of every day of my life. So I was a messed up kid. And basically at this point, on October 20th, my mom at 8:45 in the evening was at a prayer meeting and she was saying, God, whatever it takes, bring my boys at home. At that moment, at 8:45, I was getting held up. I was getting the living daylights beat out of me. Three guys jumped me. They beat the tar out of me. And one guy pointed a gun at my head and said, I'm going to blow your brains out. At the exact same moment. I got out of there. You know, my friends were around, but nobody kind of helped me. I got out of there. I said, guys, take me home. I went home, told my dad what had happened. My dad said, Gary, you got to get off drugs. You got to get, yeah, whatever, Dad. The next day I went to school. I was petrified. I was like, I thought these guys were going to follow me, and I'd never known fear like that. And then October 21st, I went out with my friends. We're sitting listening to AC/DC, you know. And, you know, I just felt, guys, I got to get home. I got home at 8 o'clock that night. My dad's like, what are you doing home at 8 o'clock? I said, I don't know. As I got in, I walked in the house. Does anybody remember phones on the wall? Come on. All right. The young people are going, what is this dude talking about? Does anybody remember rotary dials? I'm talking to my crowd. All right. So, like, the phone rang, and I picked it off the wall. Just go back and see videos back then. We picked it up. You had to dial to, you know, so I picked it off, and with my brother. My brother was in jail. He had been busted for break and enter, and I was so broken. I just walked into my living room, and I just started crying. I said, Mom, my life's a mess. I'm flunking out of high school. It's October, and I'm already flunking out of high school. It's my last year of high school. And I said, I don't know what to do. She said, Gary, you need to give your heart to Christ. And that night, I just knelt, and I gave my heart to Jesus. It was the greatest day of my life. October 21st, 1980. January 5th, 1981. Now, I'm just a 17-year-old kid. I didn't turn 18 till January 28th. Mark that down in your calendars. Okay, January 28th. And so I'm in my bedroom, and I'm trying to figure out how to pray. And so I'm like, are you up there? Like, my life's a mess. Like, I'm saved, but like, I'm flunking out of high school. And I said, God, like, what do you want to do with my life? And I don't know if I heard a voice, but I certainly heard something. And I heard the Lord say, go into the ministry. So I ran upstairs. Now, I'd done a lot of drugs. I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to work for the government. She goes, what are you talking about? I heard God say, go into the ministry. Now, I knew it wasn't going to be the ministry of education, but maybe the ministry of parks, ministry of recreation. I knew it was going to work for the government. She goes, Gary, you're supposed to go to Bible college. I said, Mom, I can't even get out of high school. Why would I want to go to Bible college? But I applied to go to Bible college, and guess what? They rejected me. But I had a pastor who believed in me, and that pastor, he called the register, and he said, listen, if this boy isn't in your school in September, I'm pulling all my money and all my students. The next week, I got a letter, congratulations, you're coming to Bible college on this condition. You got to graduate from high school before you graduate from Bible college. So 3 months before I graduated from high school, I wasn't the sharpest tack, but 3 months, I graduated from high school, and then I graduated from Bible college. Now listen, March 10th, I'm not going to give you my whole life, but listen, I just want to drive home this point. March 10th, 1985, this guy from Ireland, his name was Barry White. Not the singer. Barry White. I don't know him from Adam. My pastor says, hey, this morning we're going to prophesy over you. I said, you're going to what? He goes, we're going to prophesy over you. I said, what is that? I didn't have a clue. And he goes, yeah, we're just going to just relax. I said, no. Is he going to tell me about my sins? And he goes, Gary, just relax. And so I'm the first guy. I'm sitting on the chair. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what's he going to say? And this guy begins to read my mail. He talks about my past. He talked about my present. And then he spoke into my future. Listen to what he said. He said, you're going to travel and share the word of God. I'm 22 years old. He says, you're going to travel and share the word of God and minister with other brethren. God will use you. You'll travel. You'll teach in seminars. You're going to rise up on the high places of the earth. You're going to prophesy, and you're going to be a mouthpiece for God. Now it's 22. I was like, amen. Now. And then I say, for the next 28 years, the only traveling I was doing was to the grocery store for my wife. But that was March 10th, 1985. I've never heard God speak to me like that. And heaven opened up over my life. Now, in 2014, August 10th, 2014, it was my anniversary. I was preaching at a friend's church, 20 minutes. That's the only traveling I was doing. And then some random lady came up to me. I don't know who she is. I've never met her since. Came up and handed me something. I checked. Is it money? Okay, it's not money. Put it in my pocket. And then so I forgot about it. The next day, I realized, oh, it's a note. I pulled it out, and it was this prophecy. And in the prophecy, she said, travel, 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 dust off your suitcase. You're about to travel. Dignitaries are waiting for you. I didn't even have a suitcase. So I went out and got a travel suitcase, which I brought with me this weekend. The next week, I got a phone call, and a businessman said, hey, we need you to go to Trinidad and Tobago. We're going to pay your way. We're going to give your wife a couple of days in Tobago. There's a church down there. And from that moment, I have traveled the world. Since that moment, I've gone to 23 nations. I've gone to multiple times. Singapore 16 times since 2016. What I'm here to say is this. There are moments, there are times where God wants to open heaven over your life, and he wants to do something. Ezekiel says this. He said, heaven opened. Then he said, three things began to happen. The first one, he said, I saw visions of God. Listen, God wants to open heaven over our lives where we begin to see him for who he is. Every time God wants to open heaven over your life, he wants to give you a new perspective of who he is. I can remember my last year of Bible college. I needed money. I mean, I don't know what any Bible college student who doesn't need money. But I was in my last year. I'd spent my money, and I needed $1,850. And so I was on a Sunday night. I was at a church. Sunday night, I'm at the altar, and I'm crying out to God. I got three questions that I had to ask God. The first one was, I was invited to go to a church to be on staff at a place called Tillsonburg, Ontario. Does anybody know where Tillsonburg is? All right, look at that. More people know where Tillsonburg is than Hamilton. All right. And so that was the first thing. I was in a relationship with a girl that I didn't want to be in, but I didn't have the courage to say no. And then the third one was I needed $1,850. And so in that moment, heaven opened and God spoke to me. He said, take the job, let go of the girl, and I will provide. So I just said, okay, amen, hallelujah. And so I had another week at this church, and then I went home Saturday night. It was like a Sunday night, actually. The next day I was going to go up. It was actually Saturday night. I was going Sunday to go up back to Bible college. My mom says, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going to go to my mailbox. I'm going to open my mailbox. There's got to be money there because God said he was going to provide. So I said, if I didn't hear from him, then I don't know. I'm just going to trust him. And so she walked out of the room. My dad's talking to me, and my mom walked in the room with an envelope with $1,850. And she said, Gary, strangest thing. On Monday morning, people started calling us and saying, God woke us up this morning. We've got to give Gary some money for Bible college. I hadn't even talked to my parents. You know, folks, in that moment, I saw God as my great provider. I saw him as Jehovah Jireh. I had never experienced God that way. Do you know that from that moment, I have never doubted that God is my provider? I've had moments where, you know our story, where we needed healing. We needed God to come through, and we had never experienced God as a healer in that way. And then God came through on a day, on a moment where we were contending and believing God for a child. And even though medically it was impossible for us to have children, God came through. And at that moment, I have never questioned that God is my healer. Hey, my question to you is, what do you need to see God as today? Like heaven wants to open up and God wants to reveal himself to you in a unique way. Ezekiel says, when heaven opens, I saw visions of God. Listen, God wants to show himself to you. How many want to see God today? Like God wants to show himself to you. The second thing he said, the word of the Lord came expressly to me. That word expressly has this idea. It has this connotation to it. It means to point, to challenge, to charge, to come expressly with purpose. In other words, there are moments when heaven opens up over your life where God wants to come and he wants to speak something into you that he either points for you or challenges you or comes with purpose into your life where all of a sudden your life is changed. You now move in a different direction. So when I was 17 years old and God said, go into the ministry, even though I thought I was going to work for the government, I'm here to tell you that word, that one word, go into the ministry, has guided my life for the last 35 years. It's been the thing that's never got me off course. I've always remembered, God, I'm in ministry. Even when I was in a meat and seafood company as their cleaner, that was still ringing in my ear, ringing in my spirit, the word of the Lord. Listen, whenever God speaks, things begin to happen. When God begins to speak into your life, he actually creates something. He starts something moving in your heart. Listen, there are many ways that God can speak to you. You guys are a great church. You understand, like through a word of scripture or prophecy, a word of knowledge, a dream, an impression, a thought. Listen, it doesn't matter how God speaks, but God speaks to us. Can I hear an amen? Listen, God wants to speak to you, but he doesn't want to speak to you just to make you feel good. He actually wants to point you. He actually wants to move you into some new direction. He wants to move you into a new place. When heaven opens up, listen, God wants to speak to you.
God wants to minister to you. His voice is creative. He calls, the Bible says, that which is not as though it were. God wants to speak. God will call out what he has put in you. He wants to give you hope and expectation that he can use you for something even beyond what you can even, you know, naturally think you could do. See, the word of the Lord comes to awaken and affirm in you the things you and I were created to experience and walk in. God wants to speak to us. Ezekiel says, look, there was a moment in my life where heaven opened. I began to see God. And then he began to speak to me, and he began to point me into a direction. He began to move me into the purpose of my life. You see, the prophetic, God's Spirit always activates faith and hope to see it fulfilled. Come on, can I hear an amen? Listen, with every promise is the power and the ability necessary to bring it to pass. God doesn't set us up. He doesn't speak to us and then say, oh, go figure it out. He actually, in the word, gives us the ability and the power to accomplish that word. So when he spoke into my life, go into the ministry, he didn't set me up for failure. He actually put within me a word and a DNA that caused me to walk into where I am today. This didn't happen by chance. It was actually a stewarding of his word over my life. Listen, God wants to speak to you. God's already speaking to you. Ezekiel says the third thing, he said, I saw visions of God, the word of the Lord came expressly, and the hand of God. We just kind of do this, and just do this. The hand of God came on me. Now, God's a spirit, the Bible says, so he doesn't have hands in that sense, but he wants us to understand that, look, that's what he does. He puts his hand on us. Ezekiel, this is a familiar phrase that Ezekiel does. He actually says it seven times in Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came on me. The hand of the Lord came on me. I was, a few years ago, we get some friends from Cambodia, and she would know this, they would know this, but I was in Cambodia a few years ago at a conference that they have called the ACC conference, and there was this guy named Mike Rosel, and Mike was a potter. Like, I don't like getting my hands dirty. Is anybody like me? Like, I'm not a clean freak, but, like, I don't like getting my hands dirty. So, like, for instance, the other day, a few months ago, my battery went on me, and I was thinking, how can I change my battery without getting my hands dirty? And so I called a friend. I said, hey, you want to come for coffee? He goes, yeah. I said, hey, have you ever fixed a battery? He says, oh, yeah. He said, I'll be over in a minute. And so I literally watched him take my battery out. We went to the store, got a new battery. He put it in my car. I never got my hands dirty. It was worth a cup of coffee, right? But Mike's this potter, okay? And so Mike, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'm on the front row, and I'm watching him. Now, I'm not a big pottery guy. I don't even like pottery. I don't like my hands dirty. But he goes like this. He goes, he puts a 50-pound piece of clay on a wheel. And then the wheel's spinning around, and he makes this statement. He said, I put that piece of clay on there, and that piece of clay cannot move until I take it off. Now, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but it happened to me. In that moment, there were 5,000 people, 4,000 people in this room, but I'm in the twilight zone, and I'm oblivious to what's going on. All of a sudden, I'm focused on this piece of clay. And the Holy Spirit, at that moment, he says, did you hear that? I said, hear what? He said, you're on the wheel until I tell you. I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then Mike grabs two pitchers of water, and he begins to pour over this piece of clay, and he says, you know, I can't do anything with this clay until the water gets over it. The water of my word and the water of my spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, did you get that? I was like, yes, Father, I got it. And then Mike, you know, like, he's muscular, right? Not like me. And so he starts working this piece of clay. And I mean, he's working it. And I mean, his muscles are rippling. And he's going, this clay is fighting me. And he's just kind of slowly working. He says, this clay is fighting me the whole way. And the Holy Spirit said, did you get that? You fight me. I go, I never fight you because you're fighting me now. I was like, oh, God, like, I'm in zone. And so Mike is working this piece of clay. And he goes, like, this clay, I'm working it. And then he goes, there's going to come a point where I can do anything with this clay. And he gets the clay to about this part. And he goes, okay, it's ready. I can do anything with it. And he takes his finger and he just goes, boop. And the clay goes. Now, I don't know when he did it, but he created a hole right in the middle of this piece of clay. And then from the inside out, he began to form this beautiful vase. I mean, it was stunning. I'm watching him do it, and I'm amazed. I'm like, I want to be a vase. Like, God, you're making me into a vase. Keep doing it. And then Mike finishes. He goes, you think I'm done? And we're like, yes! And I'm in the front row. I'm going, yes, the crowd is going crazy. Yes, I want to be a vase. And then he puts red ink on it. And it's like, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I'm like, yes, I've been bought. I'm invested in this piece of clay. And then he goes, you think I'm done? And then he puts his hand right in the middle. And he pulls out a chunk of clay. And he goes, well, hang on a minute. There's offense. There's unforgiveness. And I'm like, oh, please stop. And he goes, okay, there's some pride. And he pulls out these chunks of clay. And he goes, okay, you think I'm done? And I'm like, yes, I want to be a vase. And then out of nowhere, he takes his hand and just completely crushes the vase. Now, again, I'm invested. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. But I'm in the front row going, no! Because I'm the vase. I'm like, what did you just do? And then he goes, I'm building a bowl. And he made this unbelievable bowl. Now I'm sitting in the front row going, I want to be a bowl. Because he made this incredible bowl and he said this. He said, see, you thought all along that I was making a vase. But my intention all along was to build a bowl that I can display the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that I can take water to those who are thirsty. I can take food to those who are hungry. Listen to this scripture. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you a message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me and said, can I not do that with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. See, all of us. This scripture that I just read to you in Ezekiel, it was like the Holy Spirit brought that back to me and said, Gary, my hand is on your life. I'm still shaping you. I'm still working in your life. One last story. I was in Mexico. I do a missions trip there, and I go to three different churches, and it's kind of my way of investing into a nation. And I think it was 2015, I'm in the front row, and I'm doing prophecy. So now, when I was 22, I was the guy sitting on the chair. Now there's a young kid there. His name is Juanito, or Juan. And Juan's sitting there. And so there's two or three prophets, and we're prophesying over this kid. And we began to call out gifting and calling on his life. He talked about creativity and music on his life. And I said to the pastor, I said, I just really feel like we need to break poverty off this young man's life. I said, do you mind if I give him some money? And usually I carry a little bit of cash. I said, do you mind? Would it be okay? I don't want to break any taboos here. He goes, no. He said, you can give him money. I said, what if we ask the church to do this? He said, well, we've never done it, but let's try. You know, the church is always awesome. Like, I've served the church now for 35 years, and the church never disappoints. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are people in the church that disappoint, but the church, you know, the church, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Nobody in Winkler, where I come from. But we said to the church, like, you don't have to give, but if you want to give. And so in this moment, I mean, heaven opened up over this kid's life. And I mean, people just literally ran to the altar, dropping money at this little kid's feet. Like thousands and thousands of pesos. Like, I think it's like seven pesos to $1 or something like that. And so they were just dropping it. And this little kid's crying. He's just weeping and weeping and weeping. And so we break poverty. We take authority over, you know, we're doing everything we can. Well, then I leave. Sunday night, I got a red eye back home. I leave. I go back there the next year, 2016. I'm back. I'm in the front row. And during worship, I see Juanito on the piano going. And I say to the pastor, I said, is that the kid we prophesied? He said, Gary, it's amazing. You didn't know this, but he was the first of seven children in his home. When the seventh child was born, the father left the home. He went to Mexico City. They've never seen him since. He's lived in poverty all his life. His mother made $50 a month. And he said, when you broke poverty off his life, the only clothes he had were the ones he was wearing. And so he said, you left on Monday morning because he wasn't going to school. He didn't have a job. He showed up to a church and started cleaning the church. He said, we felt guilty because he was doing a better job than our cleaner. So we hired him part-time. And somewhere in this year, he learned how to play the piano. So I was like, I got to give this kid some more money. I'm going to lay hands on him, prophesy over him again. So I leave. 2016, I'm back. No, that was 2016. So 2017, I'm back. I'm about to prophesy, and who should I see playing the bass guitar? Juanito! I said, Eric, what is going on? He goes, Gary, I've never seen anything like it. He said, first of all, he's proficient in the guitars. He's amazing on the piano. He's learned it all by himself on YouTube. And he's become our best sound technician. He said, this year, he's been so good that we've actually put him over all of our youth worship. We've hired him full time. We have six weekend services. He coordinates all six of the weekend services. I was like, this is amazing. I said, I got to give this kid some more money. He goes, but it even gets better than this. He said, Gary, this year, he saved his own money and went on his first missions trip to Cuba. You know, I sat back and I said, God, I've got no excuse. I have no excuse. Here on that particular night, a Sunday night in Puebla, Mexico, heaven opened up over this young kid's life. God showed him that he was the God of supply. God brought the word into his life and put his hand on his life, and all of a sudden his life is changed. Church, God wants to do that with everyone in this building. Amen, Gary, good point. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't know who you are here tonight. Listen, I want everybody, if you could, just for a moment, just bow your heads. Close your eyes. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know if you've been coming for a while. But listen, you may not know Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you tonight. He wants to show himself to you, just like he did with me. just like he's done with many in this room tonight. Jesus wants to show himself to you, and he wants to speak a word into your heart, and he wants to put his hand on your life so that he can bless you and change you and transform you and make you into what he destined you to be. If you're here tonight and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, or maybe you've come and you've been coming and you know, hey, I've fallen away from God and I need to give my heart back to the Lord, would you do me a favor? No one's looking around. Would you just put up your hand? I want to pray for you tonight. I want to just ask anybody in this room, if you need Jesus, just quickly put up your hand and we'll pray for you. I want to give you a couple seconds, maybe 30 seconds. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to ask you to come up here. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Thank you very much. We have people get saved every weekend, give their heart to Jesus. He changes us, just like he can do, like with Juanito, he can do it with you. Anybody else, just quickly? The couple of people that put your hand up, listen, and I'd like everybody to join with me. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're just going to invite Jesus into our heart. And I want to encourage you, at the back of the hall, as you go out the doors, there's a prayer room. It says prayer room. You can't miss it. If you want to go in there after and talk to somebody, somebody will be in there and they'll give you some information and help you out. But right now, would everybody in the room, and you put your hand up, would you guys all pray this prayer? And we're just going to invite Jesus into our heart. Would you say this with me? Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, and I ask you that you would open heaven over my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I need you to put your hand on me and change me. Speak to me, Lord. Give me even a new sense of purpose in my life. I ask that you would touch my heart. Come into my life, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you put your hand up, listen, I just want to encourage you, go back to the prayer room after the service. We'd love to have somebody there to minister to you. I want to pray for just people. How many here would say, Lord, I need you to open heaven over my life a little bit? Come on. Lord, I want to see you like in a new way. Amen. Would you stand to your feet if that's you? Just come on. We're going to just take a minute. And I just want you to come maybe to the altar tonight. And we'll do what we can to just minister and pray for you. But my prayer, listen, you're a well-taught church. My prayer is this, that, look, I just changed my watch. It's March 30th. 2019, right? Why not today? God just opened heaven and you meet him. Like I said to you, some of the best times have been me just waiting at the altar, just calling out to God, you know, going to him for things and going, hey, I got needs and I got situations, right? And I just call out, Lord, I just need you. And God breathes. He just speaks. He just tenderly just taps me on the shoulder and maybe he adjusts me a little bit, you know, kind of puts his hand on me and says, okay, stop fighting me, Gary. Like, I'm going to make you into what I need you to be. God can do it. Amen. Come on. I want to just say a general prayer and then come on to the altar if you want. You're free to go. It's an early night, but listen, you can stay and we'll just pray and just believe God and just speak whatever God gives us. Amen. So let's generally just say this prayer. I'll pray for you. Father, tonight I just pray for every person that's standing. I pray tonight that there would be open heavens over this building. Lord, that you would begin to speak as even the prayer team prays for people. Lord, that the word of the Lord would come expressly. Lord, that you would show up and show us who you are, that you're a good, good God. Lord, you're a great God. You're a God of healing. You're a God of supply. You're a God of miracles. You're a God of faithfulness. Lord, you're a God of hope, even when we feel hopeless. Lord, you're a God of love even when we don't feel loved. You're a God of acceptance even though we don't feel accepted or we're rejected. Lord, show us who you are tonight. We pray that you put your hand on our lives, and as a church, as a people of God, that you would begin to work so deeply in our hearts. I pray for every person tonight. Lord, we come willingly to you tonight. We say, open heaven. Open heaven over our life. Open heaven over our lives tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on the GMC podcast. For more info about what's going on this week, check out gmchurch.ca. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week.